Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. And now, here's your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, photos, videos, pictures from our adventures, other stuff at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me, the Danger Pixie Actual, Melody Lauer, who I bet didn't do any of her language research to...
Hola!
Okay, you got one. You got one. So you're going to do a new one every week? Is that what we're doing?
I have no idea.
Okay.
You know what I'm curious of? And I could probably Google this right now.
How many languages
actual languages there are?
Like, living or dead?
Living. I'd have to go with living. Because you'd have to get the pronunciation. I don't want to say, like, hello in some dead language and then actually be saying, like...
You know what the nice thing is about that?
If no one would know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So, hey, guess what?
What's that?
This segment brought to you by Lucky Gunner and Federal Premium Ammunition. Whether there was a firefight or you do, in fact, want to worry about that little guy, and you really should worry about that little guy, you need more ammo. And when it's time to restock, you can't beat Federal Premium Ammunition and LuckyGunner.com. With a shipping department that's always moving at 88 miles per hour, if I order a case of American Eagle from Lucky Gunner on Thursday, it's at my doorstep ready to shoot before the weekend starts. Head to LuckyGunner.com today to check out their in-stock lineup of Federal Premium Ammunition. And remember, unless you're on fire or drowning, you can never really have too much ammo. And yes, I know, Chuck Haggard talked about this last show.
No, that's not what I'm like shocked about. Rough estimate, how many languages do you think there are in the world spoken today,
currently,
live? Yes.
237.
No.
How many?
6,908.
Huh.
That's a lot of languages.
I don't think you're going to run out.
That's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, joining us today, one of my very good friends, whose last name we still won't mention, has been coming on the show since season one, Sean. Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Ahalan, Melody. There's a new one for you for next week. Ahalan.
Ahalan?
There you go. There you got one for next week.
All right. Awesome. Mm. Now, wait. I'm going to have to go and check and make sure you're not having me, like, say something super offensive.
Sean would never do that to anybody.
Yes, Sean would.
Mm. Arabic. So, Joe asked what language that was. I assume that's Arabic, but...
I speak one. Uh-huh. English. And then every once in a while, I'll speak that one, too.
Yeah, you know. So for those who have not heard your previous episodes or, I don't know, whatever. Who are you? What did you do? What do you do now? And we'll hop into today's show.
Oh, well, what did I do? I was a Marine. I was a police officer and spent 20 years after that in military special operations. I retired last year, and now, ironically enough, I am teaching shooting.
I mean, it's not very ironic. It's kind of...
I think that's kind of ironic. I'm kind of giggling over here.
Because cops can't shoot?
No.
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
Jeez. So I guess you've been around for a little while, and you've gotten to see what many would consider to be top tier training and stuff like that, especially in the military. Kind of what I want to talk to you about today, and I think this is something that's a little bit misunderstood, context and training and tactics and stuff like that. But Is there anything that hops out to you that is pretty different about military stuff compared to stuff for the private citizens or even just cops?
Yes and no. And unfortunately, I don't see enough of a difference between... We've got a lot of guys coming out of the service that can shoot and they can teach, which is two really important skills. If you're going to take, if you're paying money to go take a class, you need someone who can, one, they can do what they're teaching, and two, they can teach. And we got lots of guys that can do that. But more and more, you know, I become a recluse. You know, I moved to the middle of nowhere. I bought my own compound, if you will. We haven't got, you know, walls built yet, but like I'm still in contact with the outside world, and I see a lot of instructors taking guys to tactical camps. What exactly is, you know, Joe the radio producer going to do with skills he learns at tactical camp other than put pictures on the internet and say, look how cool I am?
Yeah. I mean, that's important.
There's skills that are going to be learned, certainly. But there's no context in the training. Everybody jokes zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy the joke as much as the next guy. I mean, you've been in my house. You've seen what I'm ready for. So it's a common joke in the shooting community, zombie apocalypse, Red Dawn box, whatever you want to call it. But that seems to be literally what people are going and paying some of these top and in the top end instructors. These guys are quality guys. Quality. They have a lot of knowledge and they're able to teach it. And they're showing up with plate carriers and, you know, 7 loaded magazines for their rifle, 3 loaded magazines for their pistol, a drop down leg holster, a helmet, night vision. They are ready to go. And 4 years later, they end up in a mugging in a back alley. What training did that value did they really get out of that tactical camp?
Right.
You know, and it's something that even here, so I've been working with the local sheriffs, and we have a city sheriff here too. Don't ask me why we have a county and a city sheriff. But then we also have a city police chief. And recently I started working with them to put together a curriculum for, I've never held a gun before, but I want to exercise my right to keep and bear arms and to carry a firearm, which it's still legal in this part of the country.
Good.
We want to do that. How do we do that? And just trying to convince the city council, the county board of supervisors, hey, I'm not coming in here to teach you guys how to scale walls, how to jump out of airplanes, how to fast rope onto the top of a ship. This is pretty simple stuff. This is how to safely load, unload, holster, unholster, point it in the direction you want the bullet to go, and preferably press the trigger in a manner that's going to bolt exactly on the target where you want it. Just because I was a big, you know, commando doesn't mean that I'm the best guy for that. So I've had to relearn who is my audience, who am I teaching? Because I'm not training guys in mock combat towns in, you know, various parts of the country with smoke and explosions. That's not what I'm doing. I'm training little granny to the kid that just turned old enough. Well, depending on what state he's from, well, he just turned old enough to buy a firearm and wants to be responsible and learn to carry it correctly. But having that right context is, I think it's absolutely critical. And we sometimes get lost in that. And, you know, Louis Arbuck and I used to go round and round about this. I spent a lot of time out west. And it took probably a good 10 years of him whispering it in my ear to finally get it across that the gunfight that you get in the civilian world is not the same gunfight that you get in a military or law enforcement context. There are aspects that are similar. There's going to be a lot of crossovers, but there's going to be enough differences that you need to take training that specifically addresses your individual needs and requirements.
Well, and it seems like, too, that maybe, and we got about a minute and 40 seconds left before the next segment, but it seems like that people just don't know what it actually looks like for them. I mean, yeah, we don't have a crystal ball, but, you know, do you think that people just don't do enough research as far as what their actual likely threats are?
Well, I think that's to a degree. I think that's kind of a secondary problem, actually, John. I think what it is they look to who they perceive as being a subject matter expert and say, this guy knows what he's talking about. Brilliant cross through a human being's mind is, one, I don't know what I'm doing, and two, I'm going to go find someone who does to teach me.
Right.
Then we move into that second level where I don't know what I don't know, so how do I know that this is the right guy or girl for me, or maybe isn't the right girl or girl, you know, guy or girl for me? One thing I learned early, I do not teach anyone who I love, I don't teach them anything about shooting. I go find a professional other than me who's not emotionally involved and say, will you please teach my wife how to shoot? And so far, it's worked wonderfully.
Well, and that's that's important. Hold that thought, though, because we got to go to break. So right now we're talking to Sean about all sorts of interesting things. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatterguns since 1977. A legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories, as well as the new EDC X9, which offers discriminating shooters 1911 match-grade accuracy, superior ergonomics and concealability with modern service pistol capacity and reliability at www.wilsoncombat.com. So before the break, Sean, you were talking about how one of the things that you figured out was that you don't teach anyone that you love or care about. You find a professional to do that. And then I interrupted you because I'm a jerk.
I think there's, you know, and it kind of becomes an oxymoron. Am I a professional instructor? Yeah, that's what I get paid to do. But there's a certain amount of emotional involvement, and we see it every single day at the local range. Boyfriend takes his girlfriend or date or whatever. Husband takes wife. Sometimes it's the other way around. They take them out to the range, and they give them, you know, a 500 Smith & Wesson Magnum, load it up with the hottest load that they can find, let them shoot it, watch them fail miserably in controlling the recoil, possibly even slightly, or in some cases, seriously injuring themselves, and then everybody has a good chuckle.
Yeah.
And that is the single most counterproductive thing that you can do for a loved one pretty much ever. Other than getting liquored up and getting in a car and driving them home, there's not many worse things that you can do than that, especially if you really want to protect your family, isn't to set them up for failure.
Right.
So, but that's one of those things that I don't have always, well, it's taken a long time. When I first started training as a professional and teaching outside courses to civilians and to law enforcement, well, I've been a civilian, I've been law enforcement, so I know what I'm talking about when it comes to that. Except it took a lot longer to realize that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the bullets are actually flying and they're going both directions, the fundamentals of the gunfight aren't drastically different.
Right.
It's a pretty straightforward event. It's throw the ball, catch the ball, hit the ball, run. There's not much more to it than that. However, things like the mindset of going into and training a small group of direct action killer commandos versus training a mother of three how to not only carry safely, but go to the grocery store, put back the boxes, cereal that she didn't want to buy, put back the pudding packs, find the one that disappeared three aisles away, and all of a sudden, when she finds him, that toddler is in the arms of a knife-wheeled maniac, and now what? And it dawned on me that, guess what? I know two things about that kind of scenario. Jack and the other one left town.
Yeah.
So there is a difference. And the fundamentals of clearing a cover garment, drawing a pistol, employing it accurately, you know, those things, those don't change. You know, and it doesn't change if you're using a rifle. It changes a little bit with a machine gun or, you know, a Gatling gun or things like that, or rockets. But the actual fundamentals of shooting don't change. But differences, subtle differences leading up to, especially in the mindset mentality, what is important in a civilian carry concept versus what is important in, say, a covert or clandestine military operation carrying type situation,
right,
are drastically different. So some people, if you print, that's like the ultimate concealed carry faux pas. You just, oh my goodness, you rookie, go back to gun school so you can learn how not to print.
Yeah.
Other people, if you print and you get caught, you're going to the fingernail factory where you're going to die a very slow, painful, miserable death, and no one will ever know. Pretty far extreme measures. But somewhere, every shooter in the United States falls somewhere in between that.
Right.
So, obviously, you don't want to go around with a big sign that says, I carry a gun, but there are entire T-shirt printing businesses that exist solely so that people can advertise that they're carrying guns.
Well, they can at least wear a T-shirt that makes it seem like they might be carrying a gun. Now, whether or not they're actually carrying a gun, that's a completely separate, you know, completely separate thing, which is weird. But, and that's kind of funny, too. Have you noticed sort of like, and I suspect this is not much different, but it almost kind of seems like self-defense for some people is just sort of a fashion trend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I've entered into another spinoff of my previous life was a culture that's built around this particular profession.
Right.
And it's the T-shirts, it's the equipment, it's the, I'm not on duty, but you wouldn't know it.
Right.
Because I got the radio on, I got the T-shirt, I got the jacket, I got the reflective vest, and I do. I think on one side, I see that if you're wearing the, you know, the come and get it shirt, you're really not asking for, you know, you're not drawing attention to yourself in necessarily a positive light or negative light. It depends on your situation. I don't get dressed up in a suit and tie to go sit by the pool at the country club.
Yeah.
It's not appropriate.
But I got to interrupt and just say the fact that there actually is a country club and they let you in is just amazing to me, by the way. So
it is one of the few things in this world that puts a grin on my face from ear to ear.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you don't wear a suit and tie to the country club.
Right. And you know, do I have gun shirts? You betcha. Of course I do. Half of them I probably got from you or your sponsors. you know, do I wear them? Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm wearing one right now. It's not a gun shirt specifically, but it's an accessory shirt.
Right.
And I wear it, but it's not an advertisement. To me, it's not a walking billboard for, hey, look at me, I'm carrying a gun. And when I get dressed in the morning, that's not the image that I want to project. I really don't want to walk around and let people know that, hey, come mess with me. Hey, come and take it. And I appreciate the passion that a lot of pro Second Amendment advocates, you know, possess when it comes to defending their rights. And I'm as passionate as the next guy. But how we fight the battle is often as important as actually fighting the battle itself. And that includes what we first started talking about. It's kind of a very long circular way to get back to it. But the right context for the training that you're taking. I'm a big proponent of rifle training. I love a rifle, whether it's a bolt action, lever action, modern sporting rifle. I love training with them. I love shooting them. I got very proficient with them, and that is my bread and butter. That's what I like to teach. And I'm over here teaching how to get Granny to get her LCP out of her purse and rounds down range and on target. in a manner that's reasonable enough to expect that she has a fighting chance to, for self-defense if she were presented with that type of situation.
Right.
And it's the right context. It goes back to, I think it kind of ties in with what we talked about when I was here last time, which is mindset. What is your mindset? What is your ultimate goal? As you're stepping off into the realm, and I've got most of my students these days, they just had an epiphany within the last week or 6 months that I think I need to carry a gun. And part of the first thing that we sit and talk about is why. Why do you think you need to carry a gun? So kind of a personal story. There are people that should carry guns, and there are people who should not carry guns.
Right. Hold that thought, and we'll pick it right back up. We're talking with Sean about context and training and really whatever else we come up with. And you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. This segment also brought to you by Surefire. Know your target and what is beyond it. But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it. And that's where Surefire comes in. From the new 1200 lumen EDCL 2T handheld or 500 lumen EDCL 1T handheld to the 1000 lumen XH35 or the 1500 lumen M600DF scout light, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell, Aziz, light! Ever again. Surefire, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. And remember, you can get 20% off everything at the Surefire.com web store except batteries and suppressors by entering the discount code AzizLight. That's AZIZLIGHT, no space. So we're talking with Sean, and before the break, man, you were saying that not everyone should be carrying a gun, and then I interrupted you.
You know, we know there are certain people in the pro-Second Amendment crowd that question, or at least cause us to question, one, their motivations, and two, their confidence and capabilities.
Sure.
Not just physically, but also emotionally and psychologically. Are you properly prepared to deal with this? And that's something we talked about early on when I'm talking to new clients. Are you ready? If you made that conscious decision that you're ready to live with the aftermath of what happens, you know, two tigers fight, one will get killed and the other one's going to get hurt. Are you ready to do that? So I had a member of the family, you know, it's been a while now, but had a door kicked in 4 o'clock in the morning. And the response was to grab a baseball bat, hide in the closet, and dial 911. And the police show up and catch the guy and arrest him and haul him off to jail. And now he's off in prison doing whatever he's doing, you know, 6 years or something. And that's a great success story and proof that, yeah, law enforcement does work. But it also was kind of dumb luck.
Right.
You're 4 blocks from the police station. That helps. And it's for the agency I used to work for. People, it's a small agency, small town. They knew the name of the reporting party and responded. And I'm happy that they did that and that I still had enough respect around that place that they would respond in such a manner. But at the same time, not everybody's going to get that. Law enforcement response to my house right here is about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's assuming that they're close. You know, but as we approach the decision to carry a firearm or any type of defensive weapon, whether it's OC or a pocket knife or anything that you're going to carry, it's making that decision early and having someone, a professional, hopefully, put things into context for you. Take away your delusions of grandeur. Take away whatever scenario you envision being the hero. Shooting somebody doesn't make you a hero. Get that out of your head right now. You are not going to be a hero if you shoot somebody. I don't care how righteous it is. You're not a hero. You did what you had to do. If you're a professional of arms and you shoot somebody, you're not a hero either. You successfully did your job to the best of your ability. I expect the same from my plumber. So, you know, getting that right mindset, getting that right psychological and emotional state walking in What do you want to learn? What are your objectives? And so I teach very small classes. I teach no more than 4 students at a time, and I sit down and I talk to them for hours before we ever step foot on the range. Tell me about your day-to-day life. What do you do? You get up, you do this, you go here, you run this errand. Oh, and then you work full-time. Does your company allow you to carry? I live in a part of the country where, most of the time they do, unless they're a corporation that just has a satellite business here. Walmart, for example, doesn't let their employees here carry. But the small, locally owned businesses, none of them have a problem that I've run into. So what is your objective? Are you a 68-year-old retiree and it's just you and your wife? Or are you a young mother who just turned 21 and you've already got 2 kids that you shuttle around and you're a stay-at-home mom while your husband brings home, all the financial support? And I've got them all in between. And each person's situation is the same and it's different. It's mm-hmm. the same. They all want to carry a gun for protection or have a gun in the house for protection. It's different because 2 kids is a stay-at-home mom. The other one is a 68-year-old retiree. Those 2 social and day-to-day patterns of life are so drastically different. You kind of wonder how they managed to even end up getting to the same point where they called me to talk about this.
Right.
So, and I thought something that was interesting, and I'm going to make a shameless plug for a course, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
It's not mine. But there are a lot of gaps in the training community right now. There always have been, and it's a better time to be training in firearms and self-defense than it ever has been before. Certainly, we've lost some great trainers, Pat Rogers, Todd Green, Louis Arbuck. We've lost some of the greats, but they paved the way, and for each one of those guys, 2 or 3 other really good instructors came up and picked up where they left off. And putting things in the right context, getting away from, we still have plenty of tactical camp that you can go and play commando for a weekend if that's what you want to do. Or you can go and just try to shoot the fast drill as quickly as you can and score a certificate or your name immortalized on the internet. But the one that struck me the biggest as being a gap that finally got filled was being a parent. And how do I do all of this while wrangling a 4-year-old? And I never gave it much thought until I actually went to the class put on by John Johnson and Melody Flower and sat through the classroom portion. And one, there's some very tough to swallow realities presented to you. But 2 is it makes you think. And I think that's the number one positive aspect of getting firearms training is it makes you think.
Yeah.
What don't I know? What can't I do? And I had no idea what it was like to wrangle a 4-year-old until I had a 4-year-old to have to wrangle.
Yeah, it's a different thing, kind of.
It is. I had kids that I've been babysitting and wiping their noses for 25 years. And I say kids because some of them were not quite as mature as my 4-year-old.
Right.
But, there was a reason I was in good with the metro department at the city where you and I used to meet up a lot.
Yeah.
And it's because I had to use them. The difference between me carrying a gun all by myself and something happening, I know what I'm going to do. I know what I can do. I know what I can't do. I know what's legal. I know what's not legal. But actually, I dated a gal who also carried and who also was a law enforcement officer. And my answer to that, to any scenario, was you run and get help and don't look back and don't wait for me. And we never saw eye to eye on that ever. Nope, I'm saying, no, I'd really rather you don't. And, in our situation, it was personal for me. I will be distracted because I can't look at that as strictly business.
Right.
Whereas it's easy for me to send one of my younger troops out somewhere else around the block, down 3 streets, and come up the back alley and not have to worry about him.
Right.
Was I concerned? certainly. But was I worried? No, because I knew what he was capable of. I also knew what she was capable of. But emotionally, I had a larger investment into my girlfriend than I had into, my young piper. And I think that is an aspect that's oftentimes overlooked. Was I emotionally attached to the kid? Yes, I was. I've been emotionally attached to every person who's ever worked for me. If we didn't have some sort of emotional bond, then you don't do those types of things that you probably, those silly things that come off making you sound like a hero. But you definitely wouldn't have the courage to do it, and you're not willing to risk what you're risking to do that.
Hold that thought, because we got to go to break, and we'll hop right back in. Talking with Sean, you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. So you were saying before the break that there's an emotional attachment with your troops and the guys that you work with.
You probably wouldn't be spending any of your personal time with them.
Right.
In a military setting, you're spending all your personal time with them. But having those plans and deciding what you can and can't do, and especially for, handling the kids, that was a big eye-opener for me. Can I carry a backpack and shoot? Yep, got that one figured out. Is a four-year-old a backpack? Sometimes. But he shifted around more and put more little, what we call them, ruck reminders, on my kidneys and my ribs than any backpack I ever carried. Mm-hmm. Who's to say he's going to be in the backpack when we're going across the parking lot? Who's to say what situation we're going to be in? And the husband and wife or the boyfriend-girlfriend or the boyfriend-boyfriend, girlfriend-girlfriend, the couple scenario where you got that emotional involvement, having those, hey, this is what I think we're going to do. If you're at least having the conversation, you're a step ahead of most people. But going back to the context of the training, it's going and training with them. There are now couples classes, couples structure clearing, couples reaction to deadly force types of threats. And that was something that didn't come on until very recently, within the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And I think it's very... it's an underutilized response because, or it's a very underutilized resource, shooting as much as you're learning. And when I shelled out lots of money and traveled and put up the hotel bill and, bought $1,000 worth of ammo for a weekend class, I expected to shoot.
Right.
As most students do. But the actual hard part of dealing with a lethal force encounter isn't the physical act of employing the firearm. Again, I go back to the gunfight between the soldier on the battlefield, the SWAT cop during a high-risk warrant service, and the soccer mom in the parking lot at Walmart. The actual shooting portion is all the same. There is no difference.
Yeah.
It's
sights and triggers
surrounding those circumstances.
Right.
That makes the difference, and it changes that situation. I don't have, there's not a Calgary that I can call with the push of a button that already speaks the language, already knows what I expect them to do in response, to come in to help me. Talking with my wife now, she knows our plan, and, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to change my mind halfway through. So... same with the calling the police, for example. Yes, it'd be great that they could get there in time, but when the time comes that you need to be shooting, you need to shoot and not be on the phone.
Right.
You can get 911 or get your emergency system activated and have it on speaker while that's going on. Great. Absolutely great. But I wouldn't plan on that. That's not a good plan to, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to call 911, and then I'm going to defend my family with a firearm if that's what it comes down to. So there's something gets lost in there. And having that right mindset, or that right philosophy, I guess is a better way to put it, the right training philosophy and your personal use of force philosophy built around the realities of your circumstances is much more effective than simply going to gun camp or going to gun school and burning through 1,000 rounds of ammo. I like to shoot. That's why I'm tame, is to go shoot. But more than that, I'm tame to learn what I don't know. And for all the books that we've got out there, you could fill an entire encyclopedia volume with the things about shooting and gunfights that I don't know. No person can know it all. So right. Find the right trainer that also is specifically addressing identified shortcomings in your own training resume, if you will. That makes sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And I think that, you know, one, I think people are going to think that I like I paid you or put you up to bring up our class, but I do appreciate
well,
that.
And I want some kickbacks then because I ain't got so far.
Yeah, no, but seriously,
I'll buy you a coffee next time we see each other.
You better put bourbon right. in it.
Hey, I'm down for that.
No, yeah, but
I quit coffee. Well, but okay.
What was that?
I said I quit drinking coffee.
Oh, okay. Well, then just the bourbon then.
Yeah, that's better for you anyway. But no, it seems like to me, man, there's so many different directions to go and we don't have a bunch of time left. But it just seems like to me that a lot of people confuse expertise in one area as immediate transfer over to expertise to another area. And then everything sort of follows from that. And I think in the community that has been, you know, even amongst friends of mine and dudes that I consider friends will occasionally talk about something. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know. You know what I mean?
And yeah. And
go ahead.
And this is an argument that gets beat to death on the internet. I don't spend that much time on there anymore, but I don't follow all the arguments and as much as I used to, but there definitely is a difference. The actual gunfight, there's no difference. Mm-hmm. But all the circumstances around it, how you got to that point, things that you did as far as, you know, avoiding, you know, how you dressed and how you avoided, you know, not walking down the back alleys with $100 bills and bags of crack hanging out of your pocket, you know, all those things are different. The way I approach walking down a 4th Street in, say, I don't know, Louisville, Kentucky, is different if I'm with my family than I am if I'm with a half a squad of, you know, military guys.
Yeah.
It is drastically different. What I know somebody else is picking up.
Right.
Don't necessarily know that when I'm with my family. And that's a big drastic difference between, you know, going to carbine camp for a week and learning how to run and gun with a plate carrier and, you know, 150 round loadout of primary ammo and 45 rounds of secondary ammo and my IFAC strapped to my other leg. Yeah, that's probably not going to be my most likely scenario where I'm going to be forced into a deadly force situation.
Well,
so why would I spend the bulk of my time training for that? It's fun. I'm not going to lie. It's fun. But I have to understand as I go into it, I'm going to get some training value, but I'm also going to have a good time, some good camaraderie. And that's part of that experience. But it's not going to help me as much defending my family or translate directly over from carbine camp into carrying a mouse gun in shorts and flip-flops and a T-shirt. The right training is going to give you the right results. Any training is better than no training. I think that's pretty universal. Like, go get some training, understand what you're doing, how to safely handle your firearm, understand the laws and the use of deadly force, and maybe some scenarios. But training for your most likely scenario is going to benefit you much more than training for the zombie apocalypse. Certainly you can adapt, but if there's going to be a zombie apocalypse and you manage to survive the first wave, there's going to be plenty of times to adapt your, you know, tactics, techniques, and procedures to your new environment, your new reality.
Right.
Taking that zombie apocalypse training mindset and trying to apply it to a active shooter in a shopping mall is not going to be, you don't have that time to adapt gradually over time. You're going to have to recognize it for what it is and get out of there.
Right.
You know, the right training for your scenario is more important than running around and looking cool. I like having a good excuse to go buy new stuff too, but, you know, making sure that the training that you're attending has practical application in your particular set of circumstances. So going back to that context in the training, then you need to ask. And if the instructor can't explain it and articulate it in a way that makes sense and applicable to you, then enjoy your time, learn what you can, and go find someone else to help plug those gaps. No one trainer has all the answers, so get out there and get them, but try to stay away from, I'm not going to tell you to stay away from commando camp. They're fun. They are. But if you've got limited training resources, which most of us have, you know, do your research and find out what is best for me in my particular set of circumstances. And it's a never-ending process. You don't just show up to training and go, oh, hey, I went to gun school, I got my certificate, and now I am good to hook.
It sort of requires more work than that. We lost him.
Oh, I'm back.
Okay, good. Well, we're at the end of the show, though, so whatever awesome thing that you said is lost to the ages, and you're just going to have to come back on and say it again sometime. But, hey, thanks,
my
man.
My dog enjoyed it.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. Thanks for coming on, dude. I really appreciate it very much, and I will talk to you soon.
My pleasure, and you guys be safe and take care.
Definitely, definitely. Hey, guys, make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio, and keep leaving those 5-star review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.